Today's story is Beowulf and the Grendel. This is the tale of Beowulf, the noblest and bravest warrior these shores have ever seen. And though he has long passed from this world, the echoes of his great deeds sound down through the years. This is the tale of how Beowulf defeated the foul creature Grendel, and in doing so saved a kingdom. I would tell of the land of Heorot, a place blessed with a fine king, Hrothgar, and bold and fearless warriors. Despite this, a great unshakable curse was soon to fall upon their land. As the winter grew longer and colder, the people of Heorot would take refuge in the great halls. Here they would feast and drink and dance, sitting out the cold evenings until warmth once again returned to the land. One wintry evening, a visitor came to the hall, the Grendel. The hall's loud sounds of joy and revelry had carried out into the wastes of winter. There, they had reached the Grendel's ears, and these sounds were not pleasing. As a creature of darkness, they served only to remind it of its pitiful existence. Every night, the sounds of merriment harried it, and every night its anger grew until it could bear them no longer. The Grendel appeared out of the forest depths and made for the mead hall. Though its great doors were of solid oak, they were as nothing to the creature. It cast them apart with ease, and the people of Heorot beheld a monster. Giant it was, and terrible to look upon, with great teeth and nasty brutish features. A hatred burned behind its eyes like a great flame, for within the hall the Grendel saw a life it could never have. It set about the people of Heorot. Swords and axes were hastily drawn, and the bold warriors fought against the vicious onslaught. But they were as nothing against the creature. Its thick skin was impervious to even the sharpest blade. With tooth and claw, it tore men apart, snapping bones like twigs. Then, as its anger subsided, the Grendel turned and took its leave. In each massive hand, it carried the body of a fallen warrior to be devoured at its leisure. The great hall of Heorot fell silent as the living looked out onto the cold winter's night. What manner of creature was that? They wondered, as the waking nightmare they stood within slowly dawned upon them. The next day, Hrothgar and his warriors lamented the people they had lost and fortified the hall. A group of men set out to track the creature and return with its head. They were able to follow a trail of bloody tracks, but these soon disappeared into the murky waters of the fen. Reluctantly, the warriors returned to the great hall, unable to have their revenge. In the nights which followed, the people of Heorot sheltered from the cruel winter. They still ate and they still drank, but the sounds of merriment were long gone. These nights were now spent in the shadow of the Grendel, and all minds feared for its return. Return it did, for although the sounds of music and laughter harried the Grendel no longer, its hatred still festered like an open wound and grew. In taking those unfortunate warriors back to its lair, the Grendel had also discovered something it had not known before. It liked the taste of human flesh. When the Hall of Heorot next suffered a visit from the Grendel, the fortifications proved less against it. It broke these with ease and continued its murderous work. Despite their mighty blades, the warriors too were defenceless against it. Like fresh apples from a tree, the monster would pluck two of the ripest-looking warriors and drag them back to its lair. There it would devour their flesh and suck the marrow from their bones. The king and his councillors desperately concluded that a trap should be set for the creature. The people of Heorot would take their leave of the hall, with only the greatest and strongest warriors volunteering to remain inside. Champions from across the land were invited to stay and prove their courage and strength in defeating the monster. Many came, and all died. Helpless against these attacks, there was but one thing Hrothgar and his people could do. The great hall of Heorot was abandoned. In this time of fear and uncertainty, a long boat came to the shores of Heorot. At the head of the boat stood the man known as Beowulf. Beowulf, his name literally translated as Beowulf, meaning bear. In this he was named truthfully, for he was not small in stature or timid in nature. Most wise were those enemies who feared the edge of his sword. Tales of Grendel's murderous deeds had travelled far. Beowulf, a young warrior from Geatland, had sought the permission of his king to aid Hrothgar. Permission was granted, and with a troop of the king's finest and greatest warriors, Beowulf set sail for Denmark. On these lonely shores, Beowulf was greeted by a despondent king. "My name is Beowulf," the new arrival announced with more than a trace of pride, "and I have heard that your land is defiled by a creature of darkness." "That is true," Hrothgar replied. "But why should this news bring you to our shores?" "I would rid you of the monster and return peace to Heorot," Beowulf replied. Hrothgar's heart had long since filled with gloom, but within its depths a small flame of hope dared flicker into existence. Many were the warriors who had hoped to kill the Grendel, and every one of them had fallen. Could Beowulf really hope to succeed when all before him had fallen? "The monster you face is an awesome enemy," he counseled Beowulf. "Ah, but the warrior he faces is an awesome enemy," was the reply. That night, Beowulf and his companions stayed in the Great Hall of Heorot. As the hours passed, tiredness took some of his party and they began to doze. Then the Great Hall doors were torn asunder. There, in the pale moonlight, stood the Grendel. It attacked. The first warrior charged, sword drawn, and in the moment of a heartbeat was torn in half. Great teeth bit off the warrior's head and gulped down his blood. Beowulf leapt at the monster. No sword was in his hand, for in that moment he had not the time to arm himself. A terrible struggle ensued as the two fought. They grappled, each pitting their great strength against the other. In the darkness, it was difficult for Beowulf's companions to see which of the combatants was a man and which was a beast. When they were certain it was the Grendel which faced their blades, steel lashed out. Yet even the sharpest blade was not enough to pierce the monster's hide. With great difficulty, Beowulf had managed to find a solid hold on Grendel's right arm. The monster struggled to free itself from the hero's grip, but Beowulf held tight. With a roar of effort, Grendel tore itself free of Beowulf's grip. Then, as it moved away, realization dawned. Beowulf still held its arm. With a howl of pain, the monster staggered out of the hall and into the winter night. The next day was a time of rejoicing. The monster was surely vanquished. In the light of day, warriors traced the trail of blood across the land. Once more, the blood disappeared beneath the waters of the fen. No body was found, but no living thing could be expected to survive such a grievous wound. King Hrothgar returned to the land with his queen and his warriors. They made speeches in praise of Beowulf and his warriors before lavishing them with rewards of gold and precious jewels. Beowulf and his warriors retired to a nearby castle to recover from the exertions of the previous night. As they rested, the celebrations continued throughout the night. Grendel had indeed perished, but not before he had found his way to the lair of his mother at the bottom of the lake. As her hideous son died within her arms, she swore vengeance on the people of Heorot. In the midst of the celebrations, Grendel's mother broke into the great hall. She scattered the warriors before seizing up two men and snapping their necks. She carried their lifeless bodies out into the darkness for a feast of her own. News of the second monster was sent to Hrothgar, who called for Beowulf. Hrothgar studied the warrior's face as he entered the hall. Beowulf had honoured his vow to rid them of the monster, and the fight had not been an easy one. Would he risk his life once more for the people of a land that was not his own? As if in answer to these thoughts, Beowulf said, "I pledge to rid your land of monsters. This creature will be slain as well. I will defeat it in single combat." A trail of blood was once more followed to the edges of the fen. There they found the discarded head of one of the warriors. "The creature must dwell within these waters," Beowulf concluded. Clad in protective chainmail, Beowulf drove into the lake. As he swam deeper into murky waters, arms suddenly enfolded him. The Grendel's mother had him. Beowulf struggled. Nothing would break her grip. Down he was pulled as his lungs screamed for air. Then he found himself cast into the stone floor of an underground cavern. The monster seized a long dagger and struck at Beowulf's heart. His thick mail armor deflected the blow and it glanced off harmlessly. In turn, the warrior grabbed at his sword and struck for the monster's head. Sharp as his sword was, the monster's thick skin offered the same protection as his armour. The blow was repelled. The two engaged in combat, and despite her appearance, it soon became clear that the monster's strength was the equal of her monstrous son's. Then Beowulf spied a sword hanging upon a wall. The blade was greater than he had ever seen before. He wrenched it from the place and struck out. The mighty sword dealt a terrible blow. The creature's neck shattered and he was killed instantly. As Beowulf recovered from the battle, he saw another body in the underground lair, the Grendel. Taking up the mighty sword again, he cut the monster's head from its body. With the sword in one hand and the Grendel's head in the other, he swam to the surface of the lake. There, Hrothgar and his warriors were anxiously waiting. Beowulf presented the overjoyed king with a grisly trophy. "There," he said, "your land is free of monsters once more." When the celebrations returned to the hall at Heorot, they were not interrupted. Peace had been returned. Leaving a grateful land behind them, Beowulf and his companions returned to Geatland, laden with treasure in thanks for the good that they had done.